In today's climate of deception, even you could be deceived. We'll talk about that next.
And then the Lord said this to me, and this is what impacted me forever. He said, son, it wasn't the evil side of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that Eve was attracted to. It was the good side. When the woman saw the tree was good, and the word good literally leapt up off the page at me. She saw it was pleasant. She saw it was desirable. She partook. And all of a sudden, God says to me, he said, son, there is a good that will lead people away from me. Anybody asked Jesus what it was going to be like in the last days, the days right before he returns back. Do you know what the first thing he says is? Be careful that you're not deceived. Now, there is only one problem with deception, and that is this. It's deceiving. The person who's deceived believes with all their heart they're right, when in reality, they're wrong. That's scary. And then Jesus goes on to say the deception is going to be so potent that if possible, the elect are going to be deceived. Now, that used to bother me. I thought the elect are Christians. How are Christians going to be deceived? And in that hotel room, all of a sudden I realized it's not drug-infested parties. It's not satanic rock concerts. It's not sexual orgies. They're going to deceive, if possible, the elect. It's going to be evil that is masked with good.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. This hour, Jan and co-host Eric Barger are joined by Terry James from RaptureReady.com. Terry has written a new publication, Deceivers, Exposing Evil Seducers and Their Last Days Deception. The Bible teaches the last days will be an era of deception. Terry James' new release includes chapters produced by over a dozen authors writing to expose evil deception in our time. You can find Terry James' new title in our web store. A little later in this broadcast, we'll tell you how you can get your own copy. Here to begin the conversation, Jan Markell.
Welcome to the program. You know we look at news, views, and truths from a decidedly biblical perspective. This hour, I'm introducing a new book, and I've actually contributed a chapter to it. But Terry James is the general editor of Deceivers, Exposing Evil Seducers and Their Last Days Deception. The book examines the many facets of today's rapidly degenerating culture, and each chapter looks at a specific corruptive aspect of today's issues throughout the prophetic, revealing lens of the light of God's Word. In the garden, Eve listened to a lie. Millennia later, all of mankind is subject to a myriad of lies by the father of lies. And as a result, we are drowning in deception. Even the church is struggling with one deception after another, one false teacher and teaching, and is flirting with Laodicea, and in some cases, drowning in Laodicea. Going back to the early 1960s, the Western world was embroiled in free thinking, and God and his ways became, well, increasingly irrelevant, which opened the door for the deception of the next half century. So who warns us about deception? Jesus, Paul, Timothy, Titus, and more. And much of the Western world has the reprobate mindset warned of in Romans 1. Such a mindset is prone to deception because it has forsaken God. Now, as one of the chapter titles suggests, there has been a subtle satanic seduction of society. Well, joining me for two segments will be the editor of the book, Terry James, and Eric Barger will be my co-host for these two segments. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much, Jan, for inviting me.
Jan, I think this is obviously an important book. I'm just glad that both of us were able to contribute chapters to it.
Terry, and we haven't talked on air for a while, you and I. We probably reviewed one of your previous books on air, but this one on deceivers, let me just ask you an open, kind of an introductory question here. Because of all the end time signals in Bible prophecy, why did you choose to investigate this particular sign, writing Deceivers, Exposing Evil Seducers and Their Last Days Deception?
Well, Jan, I believe that, I know it did. It came to me, I think, as a result of the election, the presidential election of 2016. Everywhere we look, there's deception with regard to what's gone on before this election and since this election. To me, it just struck me as the time possibly the time Jesus was specifically talking about, when deception will become exceedingly strong, whether we're looking at the media, whether we're looking at politicians individually, or any other way. Deception is rampant. You know, we've had the media termed fake news. Yeah. I'm not so sure that term that's inaccurate. I think the election of 2016 is probably what triggered my mind, and of course I believe the Holy Spirit leads in books.
And the book's doing very well for its opening days and opening weeks. Eric, your thought?
As I went through the book, and of course I had seen your chapter, and I knew what my chapter was all about, and I had some direction from Terry, and we had talked about it, and we've been praying about it. But as I thought about this, so many of the words, sentences, entire sections of different chapters could have been written by other authors within this book, because so many of us were seeing the same thing independent of one another. And that was something that really struck me. Even today, as I went through three different chapters, I saw things that could easily have been your work, Jan, or mine, or Terry's. That tells me that we're trying to wake people up about the same things. God is independently and somewhat collectively talking to us, but it's very interesting to me.
Terry, I'm going back to your comment just a moment ago. We have witnessed in recent months, I mean, the great deception in the realm of government and political and journalistic influence in America, and you and I were talking about this on the phone the other day, and perhaps there's no more profound and troubling deception taking place than in both the mainstream news and the entertainment media. So the book deals in detail with that deception that has contributed to splitting the nation almost down the middle in so many ways. Talk about this troubling reality in today's America.
Well, absolutely it has. As I said, the mainstream media has pretty much taken up one side, and to me, it's the dark side of the equation. I'm not saying that the more conservative side doesn't also have its dark side, but definitely the mainstream media, in my view at least, has taken the road away from God in every case. The entertainment media, of course, had such an impact on the young people, the millennials. Todd Strandberg, my partner in RaptureReady.com, had done a tremendous job in doing a chapter on this particular problem. But the millennials are suffering because of mainstream media and because particularly of entertainment media. They are more prone to follow, you know, the stars and all of the other things. Social media, of course, is all a part of that. And to me, it's just bringing this nation down.
Let me just cite the various chapters in this book. I happen to open it up with the religionist deceivers that are rampant, and then talk about deception in the church. We move on to Dr. Dave Reagan, Signs Outshine Satan's Seduction, a treatment of how all the prophetic indicators of these fast-moving times are coming together. Dr. Gary Fraser, Laodicean Lies, special attention might be given to how recent decades have morphed into the Laodicean Age, perhaps with a survey of the events and circumstances that have made it happen. Number 4, Cultural Craftiness by Don McGee. Number 5, The Subtle Satanic Seduction of Society. Love that title. Michael Heil might contrast the truth as presented in the Bible with the lies inflicted by Satan in every aspect of life in America and the world. Chapter 6, The Schoolroom Seducers by Israel Wayne. Number 7, Deception in the Middle East by Philip Goodman. Chapter 8, New World Order Wizardry, Damon Duck. Chapter 9, The Foreteller Fabricators, Nathan Jones. Number 10, Media Manipulators, and as you said, Terry, Todd Strandberg has done a fantastic job on that. Chapter 11, Demon Conjuring Con Men, and that's by Pastor Billy Crone. And Chapter 12, Interdimensional Deception. I want to comment on that. That's Gary Stearman. Fallen Angelic Activity is more and more coming into end time pictures, setting up a post-rapture world for great deception. And Chapter 13, The Israel Revilers by Jim Fletcher. Chapter 14, last but not least, by all means, From Deception to Deliverance by Eric Barger.
Absolutely a great chapter.
Yep, and that's his testimony and some exhortations as well. But let's just dwell for a moment on this interdimensional deception. Gary Stearman, Fallen Angelic Activity. I was fascinated. I was riveted to the chapter, Terry James. However, it was troubling.
It is a very troubling thing. And part of that troubling aspect is that there's not enough people aware of it. These things are happening, and much of it is taking place totally apart from anybody's realization. I mean, they've become so steeped, too, in the entertainment media's presentation of these things that this actual deception is taking place. It becomes like a fiction to them, and so they can't see it.
Well, we're dealing here in this chapter with fallen angelic activity, and we're dealing with UFOs, and we're dealing with other things, and I don't want to go into detail. Eric, what is your thought on this interdimensional deception?
I think in the end times, I mean, we've been conditioned for the last 60 to 80 years or so with all kinds of entertainment, whether it be in book and now, of course, in really high-def movies about beings from outer space or other beings from other worlds and those kind of things. And so there's been a desensitization process going on about these things. And whether somebody actually has physical evidence that, yes, they've seen UFOs, and we've seen some really stunning film just recently, a film taken from airplanes by independent observers. You know, I believe this is all to get our eyes off of what is really true. And Satan will use this, and it's obvious he's been using it for a long time. He's paid Hollywood big bucks to do it. When I say he has, you understand that the people in Hollywood don't necessarily, they're not having secret meetings and organizing how they're going to get the world to believe in UFOs. But these things are identified. They're demonic powers.
Yeah,
and
demonic.
I think we need to understand it from that viewpoint.
Yep. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm talking for the couple of segments here with Terry James, editor of the new book, Deceivers, Exposing Evil Seducers and Their Last Days Deception. I'm happy to say you can get it in our bookstore, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. Give us my office a call. Sign up for print and e-newsletters. It'll be contained in those newsletters. Eric and I have contributed a chapter, but some other authors have contributed some dynamic chapters as well, including Dave Reagan, Dr. Gary Fraser. Terry James, how did you go about picking some of these contributors to your book?
I strictly, Jen, prayed about it, and these are the names that came to mind, and they came quickly. I'm surprised. I usually agonize over these things, but these names came very quickly, and interestingly, all but one accepted almost instantly. Like Eric was saying, I think that we all realize that this great deception that's going on is, you know, the first thing that Jesus talked about in the Olivet Discourse. I think most of us realize that and recognize it instantly, the word deceivers. Well, yeah, they're among us. And when I chose these people, I believe it was a Holy Spirit thing all the way.
I want to make a comment about the chapter with Pastor Billy Crone, and he asks us to realize the influence of the enemy, Satan, in the world and the church. And he has a fantastic quote, which I'd like to read on page 236. He says, "As you can see, the Bible emphatically declares that a real live devil, Satan, evil one, whatever you want to call him, actually exists. From the beginning to the end, Genesis to Revelation, he's mentioned all over the place. Therefore, how can people, even professing Christians, say he's just a mere symbol of evil? In fact, you have to deny what the Bible says in order to deny the existence of Satan, which last time I checked is not a good thing to do, especially for the Christian. If I can't take the passages literally that speak of the literal devil, then why should I take anything else in the Bible literally?" Pastor Billy Crone is always making a case that we need to have a healthy respect for our adversary to understand him and war against him.
Talking about deception, if you've heard the latest pontiff's latest comments, you know, there is no hell. I know that he has walked that back to some extent, but it got out there pretty quick in the Vatican, tried to assuage people's opinion on that. But this kind of attitude that there is no hell, there is no devil to worry about, that's a grand deception, I believe, that is really growing.
Play just a real quick clip here. Pastor Jack Hibbs, he actually is speaking at my conference back in 2015 on the grand deception, and I think his comments tie into our discussion.
So if you're a note taker tonight, here we go. Point number one regarding the grand deception, how do I identify it? We're going to pick six things tonight. We could go on forever. Let's pick six. How do we identify the grand deception and the elements of deception, recognizing them? And when I say elements, what do I mean by that? I'm talking about the basic fundamental reasons of deception. Why is it employed? Why is deception out there? The issue is this. Though Satan is a defeated foe, there's one way for him to still inflict pain into the heart of a loving God, and that is to deceive people and blind them and confuse them from ever accepting Christ in the first place. The grand deception is to get people off the course of not only walking with Christ, but of course finding Christ. So when we talk about the elements are to deceive. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, now the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. I say that painfully. I pastor a large church. You don't have to pastor a large church to experience what I'm about to say. But it's a heartbreak to see how many people in the last 12 to 24 months who have walked with Jesus for many, many decades are now saying, you know what, I'm done with this. Giving up. Wives giving up on their husbands. Husbands giving up on their wives. Parents giving up on their kids. Giving up. We've had people turn in their Bible to follow a life pursuit of this book series, The Shades of Gray thing. Yeah, absolutely happening. And you try to counsel them out of it. They've been deceived.
The point he was making is one way for Satan to inflict pain into the heart of a loving God is to deceive people. Terry, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely correct. That's one of his ploys, and it's working.
Yeah, if Satan could get us to believe there is no Satan, it's just the same in a different sort of sense, but it's just the same effect as if there is no God, because then people, their conception of what Scripture says and what the Bible has taught for all these centuries is incorrect. That's what people would walk away with.
Terry, I'm fascinated by a chapter here by Jim Fletcher. He writes about the Israel revilers, and he lists them, he names them, not all of them, but he's got, you know, Bill and Lynn Hybels in there, Southern Baptist fellow, Dr. Russell Moore, the religious left, the targeting of millennials, and this is a tragedy I'm not sure you and I ever thought we'd live to see.
I agree with that, and when the mainstream evangelical church starts saying things like Israel has been replacing God's holy plan by the Christian church, just a total false teaching. And there again is another deceptive area we're in, the area of false teaching. And Jim did a tremendous job on this chapter of pointing out how that even the Christian community is turning against the Jews, against Israel, and no longer consider them God's chosen people, but the church has replaced, and replacement theology and so forth. Zola Levitt and I used to have conversations about this, and Zola could see what's happening now, he would truly be exercised.
Yes, he would. Indeed, he would, because I didn't think I would live to see Southern Baptists and many Southern Baptist churches remain a solid pro-Israel churches. But some are beginning to stray, and the one who seems to be leading the charge against Israel and the Jewish people, Russell Moore, Southern Baptist Convention leader, Ethics and Religious Liberty Committee. So that's just something I didn't think I'd see in my lifetime, Terry, and I'm so glad that this is included in your book. Again, folks, the name of the book is Deceivers, Exposing Evil Seducers and Their Last Days Deception. Find it in my store, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. My office a call, get our printer e-newsletter. They'll be in those as well. I want to talk about a couple of other chapters that I think are really significant. We may not be able to get to all of them, but the Laodicean Lies by Dr. Gary Fraser stands out in my mind. I'd like to talk just for a minute about some of the comments that I contributed in my Religionist Deceivers Are Rampant. We need to hear what Eric has written about as well, but there's so much substance in this book, folks. And again, the end time lie is that Satan is absolutely on the move, trying to deceive, trying to fool Christians, non-Christians, about so many topics. We've even got in this book, you've got what's going on in our school system, and that is written by Israel Wayne. He's got a whole chapter on that. If that's something that concerns you, there's a wonderful chapter about it in this book, Deceivers. I'm back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
Understanding the Times continues in a moment with more from Jan, Eric, and Terry James. But first, our sincere thanks to all our financial partners for being so faithful in underwriting this ministry. Remember, we are listener-supported without any commercial support whatsoever. Please consider a tax-deductible gift today addressed to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Jen and Eric return with Terry James right after this.
Teaching Bible prophecy would be one of the greatest things that a church could do to its congregants because, one, it gives them the hope of Christ's soon coming. Secondly, it motivates them to get the job done. That is to get out there and tell their friends and their family and their coworkers that Jesus Christ is coming. And then thirdly, it brings people great great confidence. Confidence in knowing that God's word never fails. It will never fail because what God has said in the past has been confirmed by his prophetic fulfillment. Study Bible prophecy and get excited about the future.
Understanding the Times 2018, why don't you consider getting a group together to live stream the event at your computer or perhaps put it on a big screen? There is no cost or registration involved for streaming. Our speakers include Amir Sarfati, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Pastor Billy Crone, Pastor J.D. Farag, and Eric Barger. We will help you understand that nothing is falling apart. In fact, things are all falling together. Events that could be interpreted as chaotic and dark are really a herald of his return. We'll also help you contend for the faith. Fellowship with like-minded is essential for spiritual health and to stay optimistic and looking up. Our event and live streaming is Saturday, September 29th, but you will be able to access the archived programming following that event. I promise our speakers and their topics will keep you focused on the bigger picture. God has everything under control. The King is coming right on time. He's never early, he's never late, and he wants none to be left behind.
The signs of the times are all around us, but many people are just living out their lives without noticing. Every week, we call your attention to those signs and how God is using these signs to prepare for his return. Thanks for joining us today.
And you know, the Bible speaks of an end time falling away from truth, from sound doctrine, from a solid biblical gospel. The Bible says people will give heed to the doctrine of demons. There will be an increase in evil and a virtual occult invasion. What happens when these things invade the church? The church in America is becoming a part of the Great Deception, and what did you mean by that?
I mean that overall there is a great deception going on around the world. People must understand this is how Satan works.
Yeah.
He's the father of all lies. He's the great deceiver.
On today's edition of Understanding the Times, you're enjoying Terry James from Rapture Ready Ministry. Our topic of discussion this hour, Terry's newest publication, Deceivers, Exposing Evil Seducers and Their Last Days Deception. You can find this book in our online bookstore. Just click on to olivetreeviews.org. Once again, Jen Markell.
It's identifying the appearance of deception, church, tonight, friends, is the fact that it's not always dressed up in red underwear with a pitchfork. Deception looks just like us, with the intent to taint and embed in your hearing, in your faith, something that's just a little bit off. And over time, you'll be lost. You'll miss the truth. You'll be messed up.
And welcome back. We are talking about deception for these two segments, and you could discover the false prophets hiding behind the thin veneer of religious half-truths. You can unveil the globalist agenda behind diplomatic, judicial, and political hypocrisy. You can go behind misleading headlines and entertainment illusions to discern the truth, and oh, so much more in the book that Terry James serves as editor of, Deceivers, Exposing Evil Seducers and Their Last Day's Deception. Terry James, let's just for a moment jump to the topic of globalism. And you talk about it a lot, so do I. I've got a DVD on it. The developments in this area have changed the world order, as you state, and they're coming at this generation fast and furiously. Rage against anything that disrupts the globalist drive to construct a one-world government seems at the heart of end-time deception. Talk to me about that for a moment, please.
Yes, Damon Doug did a tremendous job on this chapter, incidentally. Globalism, of course, I believe, is at the very heart of all the rage that we see happening since this 2016 election and before. Satan, I believe, he had on track the preparation of the platform from which Antichrist would launch at some point. He doesn't know when that's going to happen, exactly when his man is going to come forth, because he doesn't know the future. He knows the future. He doesn't know the details of the future. Globalism and the entire entire world's attitude about wanting to come together as one, as John Lennon would say, is at the heart of all of this rage we see happening now. I think the election of Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is no saint. I'm not giving him any special sainthood. I'm just saying that his election, he's God's man for the hour, obviously. God raises up kings and he puts them down. But I believe that his election has completely discombobulated the globalists. And that's why all the rage. I think it's much more than just Hillary losing the election. I believe it's a rage that is satanic at its core, and that's why it's not going away. He knows how to keep the rage going.
You also talk about Middle East turmoil, Middle East deception, because Israel is destined, prophetically anyway, to be deceived in the matter of peace. And you've got a whole chapter on that.
The process of peace is what Satan offers the world. You know, the false peace is what it's going to be, of course.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ offers peace, but the world sees only a peace that is a political peace, a peace that is brokered by the globalists of the world. This is another deception that Satan is going to use. Isaiah the prophet, of course, says that it will be a peace that will destroy many, and they want Israel to give up land for peace. Well, there again, Satan is deceiving the world. He's saying that the way to get peace is to do something against what God has already declared is not going to happen. Israel never loses its land. Again, the deception is great, and this peace process, this whole peace process we've been observing for all these years with the roadmap for peace and all of this kind of thing, is just simply a satanic ploy through humanistic operatives such as the globalists.
Well, Terry, you asked me to write a chapter on some of the things going haywire in the church, and you know, I got into writing that chapter, I think it was last summer. And you know, I realized I honestly could write an entire book, and Eric actually, he could do probably a far better job on it than I. But let me just hit some of the bullet points, because in this chapter, I try to unpack the abundance of false teachers and teachings. But in naming names, I may save some from the snares of apostasy. But in the process, people like me and Eric Barger as well, we become a problem to the church, which is heartbreaking, because we start pointing at just some of the things that are absolutely out of whack today, from the mistake the mainliners made over 100 years ago, the fact that evangelicals are going shaky now, making the same mistake as the mainliners made in the 1900 and 1920. I would talk about the new ways of doing church and the deception there, seeker sensitive, gospel light, church growth, none of it healthy. Talk a little bit about the hipster church, emergent church, the laughing revival that isn't so funny I wrote about, today's so-called prophets who seem to be all about profit, financial, Protestants returning to Catholicism. I never thought I'd live to see the day, but that's happening. The religious left, red-letter Christians, discernment turning ugly, and I think one of the greatest tragedies and one of the greatest deceptions in the church today, Terry and Eric, is the fact that the church is abandoning not only eschatology or Bible prophecy, but also their strong support of Israel. And I try to unpack all of that. And Eric, as I gave that lineup, I know you identify a lot with what I wrote about, because you write about the very same kinds of things in your booklets and your DVDs that you produce and all that. For instance, I never thought I'd see the day that Protestants start acting more like Catholics, and the fact that the evangelicals have gone so shaky.
Well, and we're looked at as just negative naysayers.
Absolutely.
When we point out the differences, the vast differences, not just little ones. We're talking about the differences that cannot be reconciled between Catholicism and Protestantism, and this has been something the church understood for a long time, and now this the brand of Christians that are out there, and now most of them have never heard about this stuff. They haven't been educated. The same with prophecy. It is a topic that's left off the menu, and apologetics obviously was way too negative. We wouldn't want that in our churches, so we don't talk about discernment about cults and so on. In this interview, I've got a comment on this while I just have the mic just for a second. You know, I've seen you and I come up with some of the same questions independent of one another when we're going to do an interview. Five of the six questions that I have written down that I was going to bring up have already been asked.
Okay.
It's amazing to me how God has orchestrated what we've already done in this interview. So as he orchestrated Terry to bring in the particular authors he did for these chapters, I'm seeing the same thing take place, and I know it up close and personal because I see my own handwriting here, on questions you've already asked. The chapter that Todd wrote on the liberal media, Billy Crone on Satan, Jim Fletcher on liberals and on Lynn Hybels and Israel, and that all those were things I was going to bring bring up. So it's amazing how God has decided, no matter who asked it, it was going to get out there today.
Yeah. Terry James, I just raised a point. I want your feedback on it, because I said I never thought I'd see the day when the evangelical church would abandon Bible prophecy and start to abandon their support of Israel.
Well, that's exactly right. And again, that's what Satan's ploy. That is one of his key operating points, is to get in there and to put a wedge between the church and Israel. And that's the reason we know that it's a shrinking group, a remnant, if you will, that is adhering to Israel as being God's chosen people still. We see the vast majority of the church abandoning that, I think, and very sadly, I'm sad to say. But whenever you see things like the seeker-sensitive movement, as you call it, where you have supposedly thesis coming into the picture. You have thesis coming in, that is God's word, his truth, and then they invite antithesis in, the world, to come in and talk with them, and then they come up with a synthesis that supposedly, now we can all live together. That leads to there are more than one way to God, and we see that even among some, I've heard it bandied about, even among some of the mainstream evangelicals, that there may be many ways to God. And then from all of that, of course, comes all of the other breakdown of religion, and you have what Christ said, there would be false prophets, false prophecies. Paul said there will be a, they will not endure sound doctrine, and that's exactly where we are with all of this nonsense. And Israel, of course, is destined to become the enemy of the whole world. That's the way the world looks at it. Actually,
that's right.
The world has become the whole enemy of Israel. We are a remnant, and we've got to remain true and strong in that regard.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm spending these two segments with Terry James. You can learn a lot more at the website that he and Todd Strandberg manage and edit on a daily basis, Rapture Ready, raptureready.com, raptureready.com. You can find the book in my store, Deceivers, Exposing Evil Seducers and Their Last Days Deception. Terry James is the general editor. Got about a dozen writers, including Eric and myself, and really enjoyed being a part of this lineup, including Terry James, Nathan Jones, the Foreteller Fabricators. Talk to me about that for a minute.
Well, of course, I think Nathan has written a book on that himself, basically talking about the soothsayers of our time. Mm-hmm. And before, he goes into the history of the 19th century, the 20th century, some of the early ones. And I did a book, before Rapture Ready or Not book we did, I'd put in there about, probably 50 false teachers, that is, people who would come up with this kind of deception, kind of like the Gene Dixons of their day and so forth, except they were even worse. And where Christ said there would be, false teachers, false prophets, and exactly that's what we've been seeing develop. And Nathan did a great chapter on this, putting together some of the false prophets that even we see today, even past the David Koresh and the Heaven's Gate and all of that, coming up into more modern times. This is another key indicator, I think, that we are in an era of deceivers, and Nathan did a great job on that.
Let me play just a clip here of Dave Wilkerson. And again, Dave kind of foretold some things that were probably going to happen in the church. A lot of them came true, and some of them came true in a very almost, well, just a stunning way.
And I tremble when I hear Paul warn us that Satan's going to come right into the church, disguised as an angel of light. He's going to infiltrate into the church with his own ministers. They'll come angel, like he said, preaching a false gospel of righteousness. For such are false prophets, false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose ends will be according to their works. Paul said they're going to come and they're going to glory in the flesh. They're going to glory in their might, their money. They're going to glory in their bigness, their numbers. And they're going to glory in the fact that they are so contemporary. They're going to glory in their acceptance by the world. Jesus warned, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. They're to come like gentle sheep, sincere, intelligent, bright. But said inward, they're ravening wolves. And folks, Jesus gave that in the context of his message. He said, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. And the very next verse, he says, beware of false prophets. You're going to come in sheep's clothing, but they're ravening wolves. It's Christ himself warning us. False prophets, false pastors, false evangelists, posing as submissive sheep. going to come saying the way is not that narrow, the way is not that straight, and they're going to accommodate. They're going to change the gospel to suit the needs of the people. Jesus puts his finger on the motives behind them. Ambition. The word ravening here, ravening wolves in the Greek means starve for recognition and gratification. Men are going to rise, starve to make it. You see it in the business world. You see it on your job. People trying to climb the ladder and get recognition quickly. And folks, it's now in the ministry, full blown.
Deceivers, and that's what we're talking about. Eric, you actually close off this book, the last chapter of the book, From Deception to Deliverance. Why don't you give us a short synopsis?
I was thrilled that Terry asked me to do that, and knowing it was going to be there, I taught a little bit in the book, took topics as I do when either I'm writing or out speaking, and talked about Mormonism and how it had deceived so many, and then the emergent church, and gave some, I think, pertinent examples in there that we haven't necessarily touched on before. And then I got into my testimony and talked about just how could God use a little churched kid, and that's what I was. I was not a Christian. I was just a little boy going to church, and after all that that I was led into, after all that I fell for, got saved and came out of it and just said, Lord, here am I, use me. And he began to, and talked about that, and talked about how Melanie and I had stayed together even though I had well intended to ask her for divorce the night that I got saved, actually early morning as it was, 3 or so in the morning when I became a Christian, and how God had strengthened us and knit us together, and then, of course, began to call us to ministry, and that's now 35 years of ministry we've done together. So that's how it ends, and I think that was a great way, no matter if it was me or someone else, to give their testimony of how God can bring you out of deception and then into his glorious light, and hopefully I portrayed it in such a way that it was really glorified to the Lord, and he'll use it.
I thought it was excellent, Eric.
It was very good, and that's another Holy Spirit thing that was very strong in my thinking. I had heard Eric's testimony in brief at one point, and God just told me to get in touch with Eric and let him tell his testimony to wrap up this book, and that's what happened. And I'm so grateful to you, Eric, and thankful to the Lord for ending the book in such a fashion.
Totally my pleasure, and you know, God had been preparing me, because that word deception, as I told you, and as I mentioned at one point in the book, that the word deception had come up over and over, and God was trying to get me prepared that when that word came out of your mouth, I was ready right then, because
he'd
already been dealing with my heart.
Terry, you are a watchman on the wall, and you, like many of us, are noting some of the things going on in the world today. I follow your blog and lots of articles, of course, also at raptureready.com. But let's just wrap up these two segments. Give me your thoughts on all that's going on in the world, from the Middle East to, again, we've covered deception here, because you're one of the more profound thinkers and writers that I know.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I don't know how profound I am as a thinker, but I can plainly see things happening, and I think, you know, look at things geopolitically. Israel at the center of all of it. You know, no matter which way the cameras turn or microphones turn, or they always end up right back there on Israel.
That's right.
And a matter of fact, more and more they're going to end up right there at the Temple Mount. I think that's going to be a big bone of contention from here on. And so we have Israel. We have all the developments north of Israel. And Dave Reagan did a tremendous job on all the elements of convergence into the picture. He did a tremendous job on that. There's so many signals. And you know, some people might disagree, but if you've read my writings, Jan, you know that I believe that we're in a time of economic boom. And I think that this also is predicted in Jesus' words about days of Noah, days of Lot. He didn't predict a world cataclysm at the time. He said there would be buying, selling, and so forth.
Business,
I think
as usual.
Yeah, that's right. And better than usual, really.
Better than usual.
I think it's going to be a time of economic boom when he next catastrophically intervenes. I believe that's what Jesus was talking about. I believe Jesus' prophecy right there in Matthew 24, verses 36 through 42, and Luke 17, verses 26 through 30, are exactly where we are on God's prophetic timeline.
Well, again, I'm always reminded of Ezekiel 33:6, but if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and a sword comes and takes a person from them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from the watchman's hand. And Terry James has assembled a book with Watchmen on the Wall. They all have a different topic, and it's still all related to deceivers, exposing evil seducers, and their last days deception. You can find it in my store, olivetreeviews.org. Give my office a call. Sign up for print and e-newsletter. You'll find it therein. Terry James, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for being an outstanding Watchman on the Wall. You're sounding the horn all the time, the warning, and we appreciate it.
So are you, Jen. So is Eric.
Yep, we try.
I appreciate you so much, and your dear brother and sister and friends, and I appreciate you being in this book, and I think it will bless the folks who read it.
I do, too. And we'll talk again, Terry.
God bless. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Olive Tree Ministries has an around-the-clock ministry at olivetreeviews.org. There you'll learn more about our annual conferences, newsletters, news headlines that define our times, and so much more. At the same internet address, you can also securely contribute to this ministry. Again, visit us at olivetreeviews.org. Every week we're adding more listeners from around the nation and around the world. This is because our days are getting more troubling. Fewer answers are available to help bring hope. To get the message of hope out across America and across the globe, please consider helping us as a financial partner. We welcome your tax-deductible gifts mailed to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311.
Understanding the Times Radio is a weekly connection to the important issues facing our world as seen through the lens of the Bible. When many have abandoned the truth, we are pursuing it. Join us every week at this time.
I am so pleased that this ministry is carrying the new book titled, Can We Still Believe in the Rapture? The co-authors are Dr. Ed Heinsohn and Dr. Mark Hitchcock. I did not think I would ever have to ask such a question, but today many churches marginalize this message. Many scoff and mock about the glorious good news that the King is coming again, and perhaps today. Check it out in our web store at olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Monday through Friday and order it by phone, 763-559-4444. 763-559-4444 Central Time. It will be in our print and e-newsletter. Sign up online. Look for Can We Still Believe in the Rapture? We want you to rejoice in the hope of His return, and this new publication will help you do just that. Things are all falling into place. We want you to look up and know that His return is right at the door.
Hello, everyone. This is Bill Solis, the founder of Prophecy Depot Ministries, and I've been honored to be a guest on Jan Markell's radio show, and I listen to it on a frequent basis. She covers so many different diverse topics, not only prophecy, but dealing with the signs of our times and the political things that are going on with excellent guests. I've seen her show grow from several hundred radio stations up to, I think it's 830 some now, if not more, because people are interested in this show. I highly encourage you to listen to Jan Markell on a frequent basis.
In today's world, who do you trust for good insight on current events? For that matter, who do you trust for good Bible commentary? America is full of fake news and false teaching. That's why we want to offer you an alternative to both. We are Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, and our main objective is to tell you the truth about current events as they relate to a biblical worldview. Join us each week on this station for a source you can trust.
Last night we told you about an MPD canine officer and Good Samaritans who worked to free a trapped driver before the car exploded and left the scene unscathed. Tonight everyone is talking about the Bible that was found in the car untouched.
Oh, Richard, that's right. So many people have been talking about this story. I'm sure you've seen it. It really is quite incredible. So many people in this community just moved by what happened. That driver was brought right here to the hospital. Thankfully, I'm told he is going to be okay. And while many people are saying this rescue was an act of God, today I spoke with Memphis Police Association president who says these kind of situations are the dangerous situations that officers have to face every day.
Next up on Understanding the Times, we'll need a genuine hero. Richard Morrow is a canine police officer who helped rescue a man trapped in a burning car. Richard explains how God was present during the ordeal of saving this man's life. With Richard Morrow's story, once again, Jan Markell.
And welcome back. And I have a very special guest for the closing segment today. He is a canine police officer from Memphis area. He's a follower of this ministry, and he was called into special duty recently. He was on duty, and he saw an SUV on fire with a passenger inside of it. Richard Morrow flew into action. I'm going to let him tell the story. And folks, if you don't believe in angels, you just might by the time we are finished with this little interview. Richard, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jan.
So glad to have you. I know you follow the ministry, and I'm honored that you're giving us one of the few interviews that you've done. But you saw the SUV on fire, and you ran to the scene. And tell us what was happening.
Yes, when I pulled up on the interstate, I saw a bunch of citizens that were around the SUV were trying to break the windows out because it was on fire. And when I ran down there and identified myself and got their attention, and I verified that there was somebody that was pinned inside the SUV, and it was the front end was on fire.
And you said to me the situation looked pretty hopeless, but you were able to get inside. How'd that happen?
Yes, the first attempt to get in was through the driver's side. I broke the driver's side window out. And I made contact with the driver, which was obviously in shock. I noticed it. I've seen it before. He was incoherent. He wasn't unconscious, but he wasn't really relating anything I was asking him. I soon realized, and I looked at it, the dash was on his chest, and it had collapsed on his legs.
So pretty much he would be unmovable, at least in the natural.
Most definitely he was.
All right, so you actually got in. You got in the passenger side. Then you began to try to free him. What happened?
Went around to the passenger side because we can't get the driver door open, which would have made it a lot easier. But I guess in our Lord's eyes, he makes improbable possible. But I got around to the other side, and there was another gentleman. I'm going to name him by first name only, Eugene. He was with me when we opened up the passenger door. Another gentleman, I don't know who he was, got in the back seat, and it was the driver's right leg, which was pinned underneath the dash. He lit the front seat back a little bit to relieve the pressure and pulled and pulled and pulled, and his leg was not moving. We, at the same time, I grabbed his arms, and I was trying to pull him my way to the right. He wasn't moving.
Now, there were people standing along the way, and one was filming all of this and praying as she did. I'm sure others were praying as well. And you said to me your concern was that this gentleman just not be burned because the car was on fire and it actually was going to explode within moments. So you go ahead with your story.
I've been in a lot of round vehicle fires with nobody in them, you know. And my previous ones I've been involved in through all the years I've been a police officer. And I heard the poppy noises, and I knew that was from the plastics that were coming into the cab.
Mm-hmm.
It was very close. I got the gentleman out of the back seat because I just knew at any moment it was going to be a flash. I just knew it. And I told him to get out for his own safety. I didn't want him to have another victim. I got him out. You could see in the video for a moment, I told everybody else to get back. And they stood back. They would have been in the way of the flash if it did. So I was just trying to keep the less casualties as I could, even though I didn't even move. I was standing right there. For some reason, I can't say I wasn't afraid, but I didn't feel it. Turned back to Eugene, and I said a prayer to myself. And I said, Lord Jesus, just help us. It looked like a hopeless situation. At that time, I asked Eugene, let's do this one more time. Because I think if we don't get him out right now, he's going to burn to death, and I don't want him to burn in front of us. At that time, I turned around, and like I said, I was feeling the heat.
Mm-hmm.
I was hearing the noises. It was deafening. Everything got silent. It got cool. I didn't hear anything. We both reached in to get the driver, and as soon as we touched him, he went backward, up and backward. Not up a whole lot, but just enough to lift him off the seat. Well, I wasn't even thinking. I was, like, speechless.
So the trapped foot sort of miraculously came free?
Supernatural.
Supernatural.
Supernatural, because he got lifted up just as we got our hands on him. I didn't even pull him.
You didn't even pull him?
No. No.
All right. So supernatural hands pulled him.
Yes, ma'am. I was just holding on, and he turned. I can't say he. I don't know if it was the Jesus himself or an angel or a Holy Spirit, because it's most powerful anyway. It turned his body towards us. He weighs almost 200 pounds.
Damn.
He's a heavy guy. Not fat, but just heavy. He's a big guy. For us to almost not even use any effort to pull him out, it's just awe-inspiring. Once we got him out, we handed him off to some other civilians that were behind us, and on the video you see them carrying him away. I didn't get 5 feet from the vehicle, and the thing just exploded and caught fire and burned the whole interior of that vehicle. Almost the whole SUV was ruined by the fire.
Right, but something did survive. It was sitting on the front seat. It should have been melted down like everything else. What was that?
That was the leather-bound Bible. But before that happened, I grabbed Eugene, not knowing anything about the Bible, but we just witnessed a miracle. I grabbed him. I said, can we pray to the Lord Jesus Christ and just give him praise? And he said, yes, because he witnessed it too.
Mm-hmm.
We both got caught on camera. I didn't know they were videotaping us. I prayed with him. He prayed, and we both praised Jesus. I mean, it was like a church service.
Sure.
Right there. There was another lady you see in the video putting her hand up. She came to me, and she said, there is an angel. And she raised her hands just thanking Jesus. And I said, amen, sister, that's all Jesus. She saw it too. And she just said angel, but basically we didn't see anybody. But
Richard, how do you think the Bible survived the flames, which consumed the car, consumed the inside of the car, consumed the seats of the car, melted them down, yet the Bible was unscathed?
Two miracles that day. The Bible was barely even touched. It was brought out. Traffic sergeant opened it up. He said, look at this. The pages were crystal clear. The word of the Lord of Jesus Christ will never die, as long as the Holy Spirit is down here with us. And there were plenty of believers on the scene that day.
And apparently the gentleman who you rescued, saved his life, had been given that Bible by a pastor. And the pastor said what to him?
The pastor gave him the Bible, I don't know how long ago. He said, keep this with you always. Travel, put it in your seat, keep it with you. You have a guardian angel with you.
Well, that literally came true.
More than literally. I mean, I'm still trying to explain what it felt like. It was like, it was so cool. It was so quiet. It was peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the Bible says, what it's going to be like to be in the presence of our Savior. No worries. I mean, a raging fire at less than, what, half a foot in front of me, consumed in the windshield, the driver getting out with a broken leg on the right side, no burns. His suit he had on was not even burned.
That was your concern, and that was honored that you not see him burned in any way. You're not a fellow who wants to be in the forefront, Richard, and that's who I'm talking to for this segment, Richard Morrow. If you'd like to be in touch with him, get a hold of him through his Facebook page, Richard Morrow, M-O-R-R-O-W, and just thank him for what he's done here. Richard, I'm not sure how many people would have the courage to stay inside of a burning car, particularly when you know, as a professional in that kind of an industry of saving people, and you can hear the sounds that the car is going to explode any minute. You told your colleague to get out. You didn't get out. I know you're not somebody who wants fame. You don't want fortune. You don't want publicity. You've turned down publicity. You're doing this because you're a friend of Olive Tree Ministries, which I appreciate, by the way. But nonetheless, you were involved in something that was so significant from a spiritual perspective. We can look at it from other angles, too. But the fact that God was, I mean, he was right by your side for every minute.
I totally believe that. I felt it. My wife showed me the video that Anita Irby was screaming the blood of Jesus.
Right.
I remember one of the episodes, I can't remember, it was a while ago, and one of your hosts was talking about the blood of Jesus, how powerful it is. It manufactured itself 10 times that day. This should have been a fatality. He should have been burned up, but Jesus had other plans.
Have you talked to this gentleman now?
No, ma'am. He's had surgery. I don't want to go up there when he's in all the pain. We're all going to meet when this all comes down with his injuries. I just don't really want to go up there when he's all medicated. He probably doesn't even remember me, even though I was 2 feet away from him the whole time.
Well, thank you for what you've done, Richard. And folks, I hope you will contact him. Contact him at his Facebook page, Richard Morrow, M-O-R-R-O-W. I want to thank you for sharing this wonderfully uplifting story and understanding the Times Radio. And I know you're a listener, too. So it's really special that you could share that story with us, Richard. Thank you.
Jan, I'm not putting this to myself. I'm not taking any credit.
I know.
I want to thank you for allowing me to share this.
All right. Well, we'll stay in touch. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan.
All righty. Bye now. What Richard didn't tell you was that his church laid hands on first responders in the congregation just a couple of weeks before this incident. Prayer does make a difference. God is always right on time, and he's always in the right place. I'm reminded of the verse found in Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
We are a moment, you are forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell across America and across the World Wide Web. We continue to report current events from a biblical perspective. Every weekend, this broadcast comes to you at no cost, but it costs us thousands of dollars. As we produce and distribute this weekly media outreach, would you consider standing with us? With an ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to keep informed. They need to be aware of current events as viewed through the lens of Scripture. Week after week, Jan Markell brings you a compelling hour, pointing out the dangers in today's culture and bringing hope through faith in Jesus Christ. We're asking you to join us in this listener-supported ministry as our financial partner. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Contributions are also welcome at olivetreeviews.org. or by phone when you dial 763-559-4444. Don't forget, global updates with a biblical worldview are yours around the clock at olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon. We appreciate your continued prayer support for Jan and her media team. Jan Markell returns next week with another information and inspiration-packed hour designed to help you understand the times.